Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm George Tassif with the Federal Public Defender's Office in Peoria, representing the defendant appellant.
You can raise the podium if you want. There's a switch in the right, in the lower right of the podium.
Oh, thank you, Judge.
Amazing.
Thank you. Yesterday afternoon, I was pleased to learn that the government had filed its 28-J letter conceding under Palladino that a limited remand is warranted in this case. Indeed, the district court, in imposing a sentence at the low end of the applicable guideline range in this instance, stated, and I quote, "It is true that in the absence of this law, being the Armed Career Criminal Act, I would probably not be sentencing you to the number of months that I am now required to sentence you to." For those reasons, we join in the government's request for a limited remand. We believe that under Palladino that is certainly warranted in this case, and we certainly believe that Judge Mim, based upon his comments at sentencing and those 35...
Why aren't you just asking for resentencing then?
Because...
If you think the judge has made clear that he would impose a lesser sentence... Well, he hadn't thought himself bound by the guidelines, why not skip the intermediate stage?
Well, there's a 180-month mandatory minimum sentence in this instance. The objection we raised in the district court was that under Apprendi, the consideration of the three priors violated Mr. Pittman's Sixth Amendment rights. Apprendi and Booker and Blakely all exempt prior convictions. So I never made the precise objection with respect to the guidelines' mandatory nature being
applied.
So what?
I don't.
So there is a constitutional Sixth Amendment violation under Booker for the court to have applied mandatorily the 188.
Judge Posner is saying, why don't you just say resentence him rather than...
Resentence him, Your Honors, because we want the 8 months off, essentially. That's what we're here for. We want Mr. Pittman at least to receive the benefit of a sentence that reflects the mandatory minimum and nothing more. I believe that would comport with Judge Mims' expressed intent.
I don't understand you. You've lost me completely.
I apologize.
I mean, I understand. You have a substantive argument about that, right?
Yes.
That's not what we're talking about now. Right, we're talking about the Booker issue.
Well, yes.
Not about the suppression hearing.
No, I'll get to the suppression issue.
Right. So now, if a judge said outright, if I weren't bound by the guidelines, I would sentence you, I would give you a lighter sentence. If a judge says that, why go through the business of the limited remand to find that, to have the judge tell us that he wants to resentence the defendant if he's already said that, if he's already made clear that he wanted to give a lower sentence?
By all means, let the district court then impose the lower sentence if this court so orders.
Just to save some time.
Yes.
But on your suppression, I don't understand this.
Oh.
I don't understand this at all. When your client runs out of the car...
No, that was the passenger who ran. My client sauntered
client,
away.
It was
at a later
the second fleer.
He ran the opposite
right.
direction.
So why wouldn't that create probable cause to
admittedly, Your Honor,
the car, right?
As is often the case when I appear before the court, we are swimming upstream shortly after.
No, I mean, what's the point? Well,
shortly
ridiculous.
After we were sentenced, Your Honor, the Thornton case came down, and that obviously put some dampers on our arguments, and then Arango from this court. But the point...
No, forget Arango, I think, is you know, that's you can argue over Arango. But when the person flees, doesn't that create probable cause? Then you don't have to forget. Then you have to worry about.
Under the Supreme
Court, how far away from the car you have to be before the rationale of.
Well, what happened here, Your Honor, was the fact that Mr. Stindy, the passenger, was the one who bolted.
It doesn't
Mr.
matter
Pittman,
who bolts.
Mr. One went at a gallop and one went at a canter, on your view.
Saunter, if we will.
I can't see why that would matter.
They stop a car and immediately a passenger flees. Well, isn't that very suspicious behavior?
Illinois versus Wardlaw would hold that reasonable suspicion would attend to that circumstance. But as Judge Mim mentioned in denying our motion, a judge stated, and I quote, and this is in our appendix, "I've never quite understood why a concept like Belton would be extended that far, especially as in a situation
here." No, that's a separate issue. That's a separate issue. That's the question whether you can search the car
incident to the arrest of an individual who walks away.
If you've arrested someone in the car, then the question is, well, if he's outside of the car, what if he's 10 feet from the car, what if he's 100 feet? That's one whole issue. That's very different from this, from the question whether, if when the police stop the car, the occupants run away, why doesn't that create probable cause to search the car, get a warrant, search the car?
Well, probable cause requires particularized facts that there's incriminating evidence within the vehicle.
I don't understand you. Probable cause requires merely a high degree of suspicion that there's criminal activity.
Criminal evidence within the vehicle.
Criminal
evidence within the vehicle, Your Honor.
Well, sure, if people are fleeing the car. You're completely unrealistic.
Well, probable cause must be particularized to the place to be searched.
Particularized stuff. Probable cause to believe that there's contraband or evidence of crime in the car. Yes, precisely.
Okay, which is the automobile
and
exception.
Fleeing from a car is very good evidence that there's something fishy about that car. And you better look inside.
Well,
right?
Certainly the district court did not make findings with respect
to... You don't need
to
findings. It's obvious, ruling. Right? It's obvious. It should be obvious.
Well, but the automobile exception was the...
This is not an automobile exception. That's different.
This is the search incident exception.
The automobile exception is, protect the police and so on. That's why Arango is a questionable case. This is straight probable cause. Because the occupants of the car behave in a very suspicious manner. And it becomes highly likely that there's evidence of crime in the car.
Well, the closest case that I know of, Your Honor, with respect to a fleeing individual...
A case.
Would be
you just need some common sense.
Well, Illinois versus Wardlow from the Illinois U.S. Supreme Court held that flight from the presence of a police officer creates reasonable suspicion for a Terry stop. As Your Honor's question suggests, there's probable cause that the vehicle requires that there be evidence or information particularized to the vehicle that there's criminal evidence therein.
The other curiosity about this case is surely this car was going to be impounded.
Yes, but as this court stated in United States versus Dugay, the authority to tow a vehicle is separate and distinct from the authority to search the vehicle.
No, but if you tow it and you impound it, then it has to be searched. That's an inventory search, and everything is discovered in the car.
Okay, if that indeed were the authority utilized
it doesn't
by the
matter
police.
That's inevitable discovery. They were going to tow this car and impound it and conduct an inventory search, so this stuff would be found, the shotgun shells and so on. So what are you... I don't get it. It seems so obvious.
Well,
how would you defend against that? The inevitable discovery incident to the impoundment.
We would contend, as we did in the district court, albeit unsuccessfully, that the prior search of the glove box tainted the subsequent conduct of the police under Wong Sun and rendered subsequent developments inadmissible under the exclusionary rule as well.
No, because the inevitable discovery means that those shotgun shells would have been lawfully obtained by the police, and then they would have gone and done everything they did, maybe an hour later, right? That wouldn't make
any difference. Mostly inevitable discovery and those exceptions require that there be a pre-existing lawful search in the offing so as not to taint the subject.
Well, of course there was a pre-existing search in the offing, the impoundment search. So as I say, if the police had done everything you wanted them to do and tow the car away and impound it, they would have discovered the shells, and then they would have done exactly, go and talk to the woman and so on, to Charlotte and so on, or whatever it was.
We respectfully submit that the police first unlawfully searched the vehicle.
You're missing the logic of the inevitable discovery doctrine. It can wipe out a Wong Sun objection just the way it can wipe out an ordinary Fourth Amendment objection, can it?
Yes.
Or not?
No.
Well, then why wouldn't it doom your case here? Well, ponder that for a while. Thank you, Mr. Mahochko. Of course, I have the same questions for you. I don't understand why the case has to come up here on this, Arango theory.
Your Honor, I think in listening to the court's commentary today, I think probable cause could have been a sufficient reason to search the vehicle. It's honestly something that did not occur to me at the time of the suppression hearing. There are multiple ways of arriving.
Do you agree with Mr. Tassef, or with me maybe, that Judge Mim made sufficient indication of a desire to give a lighter sentence, that there's no that we might as well cut out the middleman and remand for resentencing rather than for the Palladino?
No, Your Honor, I do disagree with that.
You're going to fight?
We're talking about a period of 8 months. It may be diminishing returns whether it's really worth it.
About a period of 8 months, 15 years from now, discounted to present value.
I'm sure it does matter to Mr. Pittman, Your Honor. What Judge Mim said was, and of course this is all in the post-Booker Blakely world, where there's really no question that the guidelines are binding. What he said was, it is true that in the absence of a law like this, I probably would not sentence you to the term that I am. But then he went on to recognize the serious nature of Mr. Pittman's prior convictions, violent felony convictions for...
Let me interrupt you. Was Judge Mim concerned... Was his concern directed to the guidelines or to the mandatory minimum, the statutory minimum?
Your Honor, it's not clear from the record because there was no point in making that clear at the time. Right. He may have been talking about the Armed Career Criminal. He may have been this is an unusual case in which the defendant guidelined above the statutory mandatory minimum, the 15-year minimum, to 188 months. This is really... It's tough to say what Judge Mim was talking about. I think... And that's why we believe that a limited remand would be appropriate in this case, so that the judge could make clear what he is talking about and whether he would resentence the defendant the same way. I'd like to turn briefly to the suppression issue. I think the court's articulated there are, in fact, a number of reasons why the motion to suppress was correctly decided. Probable cause, the arrest of the passenger, and the subsequent search of the vehicle.
Let me ask you hypothetically, if the keys had not been recovered, could you have broken into the trunk as part of an inventory search?
As part of the inventory search?
Yeah. That's the basis for arguing inevitable discovery, that everything inside the car would have been inventoried and there were no car keys. Because I understand he ran away with the car keys and threw them.
He did throw the keys away. I think the answer to the court's question depends on, inventory searches depend on what the police procedure inventory policy is.
Do you break into a trunk if you don't have the key to get into a trunk? Is this part of an inventory search?
I don't know the answer to whether the Rock Island Police inventory policy allows them to break into the trunk. I suspect probably not.
I don't know that.
I don't know.
I don't know that you'd want to bring a car in if you didn't know. What was it? It could be a bomb or something in the trunk. Who knows what's in there?
That is possible. I think it depends on what their policy authorizes. But that's the inevitable discovery argument. I think that's an alternative argument. And
I don't really understand Arango. If the theory is that the police want to make sure the person in the car doesn't have a weapon, or maybe he's standing right outside the car, they're afraid he'll dive back in and get it. But if he's as far away as in Arango or here, doesn't the rationale of the automobile exception just become completely fictionalized?
No, Your Honor, I don't think it does, and there one specific reason why. The Belton exception has dual justification, one being officer safety. We don't want people to be able to grab weapons or anything else in the vehicle. The other is evidence preservation. We don't want a defendant to be able to hide evidence. In this case, what we have is a traffic stop. The officer turns on his overhead lights, and immediately the passenger flees from the vehicle. He could have very well concealed evidence in the car. There's no evidence that that's what he did do, but he could have just as easily thrown something under the seat. Under the defendant's theory here, the considerable distance rule is what I called it in our brief. As long as the defendant or anyone fleeing a vehicle is able to put enough distance between them and that vehicle, that makes the vehicle off limits. And that would totally undermine...
But the police control the vehicle, and they impound it and so on, so they get the evidence. It's not. I mean, I don't see what difference it makes, really, what the theory is, but... But once the person is, 200 feet from the car, there isn't anything he can do that relates to the car. He can't grab something in the car. He can't drive off. He can't do anything.
If he's able to get 200 feet away, when he's 200 feet away, I agree, there's nothing right. He can do to the car. Before he fled the car, there's something he could do. And when the officers bring him back to the car, he's back in proximity to that vehicle. And that brings it squarely within the Belton exception. I mean, courts, including this court, have ruled.
I don't understand bringing him back. And he's brought back handcuffed. He's no longer. I don't get that at all.
Whether or not the defendant is handcuffed or even in the back of the squad car has been found totally irrelevant to whether or not the Belton bright line rule is applicable to the case.
Well, how bright is this line? I mean, suppose he flees and he's caught 2 days later. And can he be brought back to the car and then the car is searched?
I think that would certainly be a tougher case for the argument. That's not what we're advocating.
So you
today.
Don't have a bright line rule.
Well, we're talking about half a block in 3 minutes, Your Honor.
All right, well, what if it's five blocks in 10 minutes?
That's straying farther from Arango, and I agree
right.
That would be a tougher
so
case.
I like bright rules. I like sharp rules. I just don't know if one is available. Anything more?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
Mahochko. Mr. Tassef, do you want to have another minute?
If I may.
Sure.
The inventory exception was never decided by the district court.
Oh, I know.
It wasn't briefed by
of
either
course.
Party.
It's so obvious.
Well, but Florida versus Riley, Your Honor, requires that there be evidence of a policy within the department that they will search pursuant to an inventory search. Since this issue was never researched, briefed, or argued in the district court below, nor in the briefs before
well,
this
you
court.
You think they just leave cars sitting out there? They take the passengers away and...
Relying on my recollection of inventory law, Opperman and Riley require...
Rock Island? Maybe Rock Island is some...
They require...
It is a city. It's not, Surely Rock Island has an inventory policy.
Certainly not.
No?
In this,
you don't think
certainly
so?
Not in this record, Judge.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. So, next case.